Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, came on this earth many years ago. He led a perfect yet practical life. And that is what we are supposed to do as believers. But guess what? Too often we have compartmentalized so many aspects of our lives, whether that be personal, professional, spiritual, and even in our relationship. But how do we get back to that point where we are able to please God? Because ultimately, that is what He came on this earth to do, so that we can be the perfect example for those that are around us. Hi, my name is Sanya, and welcome to Becoming the Godly Millennial Wife. In these episodes, I and my guests, we will take you along the journey of our experiences and share our testimonies so that you will be inspired, you will be blessed, and you will see that it is practical to live and lead a good Christian life that pleases God. Stay tuned as I share many experiences, and I hope that you will be transformed, inspired, and that God will use this to bless you in so many ways. You stay tuned. Oh, hi guys. Welcome to the first episode of Becoming the Godly Millennial Wife. My name is Sanya. Today, I'm about to share with you a power couple. They are the ambassadors of Jamaica, NGOs, leadership trainers, the whole works. But guess what? They're actual kingdom ambassadors, and they're about to share their love stories with you, and they are about to blow your mind. Guys, help me welcome Jamar Wright and Natasha Wright in all their glory.
Guys, thank you so much, Sanya, for having us to share on marriage. Jamar and I, we have been married for almost 8 years. Yes.
Yeah.
Similar to your marriage as well. They say after you pass the 7-year period, it gets easier. I've yet to see that because it just always work. Every day work. You learn things about yourself. You learn things about your partner. But we are co-founders of Mindfood International. That is our company. We are parents to one daughter. She's only 7 years old. And we pretty much are leadership trainers.
Yeah, we leadership and HR consultant. And so we found a company right before we got married while we were dating. Wow. And so it's really a story that we transitioned, because Mindfood was, it wasn't even named Mindfood, it was Food for the Mind. Wow. And my cousin, he changed it from Food for the Mind to Mindful.
Yes.
It was just an email that we sent out in the morning. If you follow us on Instagram, similar to what we do on Instagram with the man in charge,
yes,
that's what we were doing, Food for the Mind, but it was via email.
Right.
And then in 2014, we made the transition to, instead of sending out those, we were sending out those email, but we put it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife said we should do a conference. And then people started to invite us to train their leaders.
Yeah.
And from then on, we get referrals to more company, to where we are. So it's really, we can't tell your process. If you ask for like, what are some of these things, we really can't tell. We only can tell your story.
Wow. I hear purpose. That's all I hear.
Indeed, that's what it is.
Yes. So my first question is going to be, is marriage honorable, right? In this day and age, especially with younger millennials and persons that are coming up know, they're kind of shying away from marriage. I want to know, and of course, our audience want to know if marriage is honorable, right? So what is your perspective on that?
Well, first and foremost, let me just start by saying this, and what the definition of marriage is from a biblical perspective. And many people don't know what marriage is. Marriage is a blood covenant between a man and a female.
Right.
And that covenant include God in it. So, but if you go back in biblical time, in the book of Leviticus, and we are talking about what marriage is, it's really a blood covenant. That's why they say you should not have sex before you marry. Because if you have sex before you marry, what happens is that you create an illegal covenant. Because right. That's what marriage is. And that's why a female come with what you call an hymen.
Right.
An hymen, yes. And scientists have recently discovered that organ. The only reason for that organ is for blood. And right. So back in those years, back in biblical days, when the giveaway father is actually giving away the bride, he has to declare whether this female is a virgin or not. And then when you come before God, and the priest in those days, you would say your vow. You would say your vow. And then they gave you a white sheet. And so you would go in the tent. And then you will have sex, you and this, you and your bride. Now, if there was no blood on the sheet, then the marriage was not consummated. And so if you make a vow with a pastor, and you and your partner never have sex, that marriage is not a marriage. And even in the court of law, if you never have sex with a partner, it is not considered a marriage. And so when that person finished have sex in biblical time, you come out and you hold up the sheet.
Right.
And if you were on the sheet, then it was considered a marriage. If there was no blood on the sheet, then the father that would give account whether his daughter was a female. No. Forward to 2000 years.
It was a virgin.
Right.
That's right.
No, forward to Jesus. There was a question, because right before Jesus, there was a question in Malachi. They were divorcing their wife for every and anything. And right. So they asked Jesus, should a man divorce his wife for every and anything? No.
Malachi or Matthew?
In Matthew, yeah. So in Malachi, there was a great sin upon the earth because they were divorcing your wife for any and everything. Right. So when you read between Malachi, you know, you come to Matthew, when Jesus came, a Pharisee asked Jesus, he said, should a man divorce his wife for every and anything? And then Jesus gave him a long explanation, but there's a thing that stick out in that question. Jesus said, the only reason a man can leave his wife is through marriage and faithfulness. That's the only reason, say, marriage and divorce is recognized if somebody is unfaithful. And the reason why I say that, because if somebody have sex outside of marriage, he also create a legal covenant, and so he destroyed that covenant before. So that was the only grounds. And so we give you all of that explanation just to give you a biblical thing. Now, my wife wants to jump in, but one of the things that we want to also mention about marriage also is that marriage starts out with love.
That's
but
right.
Marriage is not built on love.
Right.
Because the Bible said, the Bible never said marriage is built on love. In Proverbs, it said, upon knowledge, a house is built. And in that context, it's an idiom for house in that. It simply means marriage. So it said, upon wisdom, a marriage is built. True knowledge and understanding, its rooms are filled with rubies. So you can love somebody, but if you don't have the knowledge, it's like I always say, I love plane, but I can't fly plane. So having a plane, you will be destructive to me.
Right. Just excellent. Well put together. I absolutely love that. And the funny thing is, right now, I realize that when I ask other persons, other younger folks, would you want to get married? I can speak for myself. When I just got with my husband, marriage was like the furthest thing from my mind, right? Mm. But I had to come into that understanding. And I think that's what God wants all of us who are looking towards getting married, who are looking towards that partnership, that you must understand the basics of what marriage is and that it is honorable before the Lord, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I think you put it excellent. Nas, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I think Jamar has given such a perfect foundation because he yes. has laid it out in terms of why it is honorable. It's not mm-hmm. just about us people. I know that usually when a marriage is about to take place, right. the two persons are so excited about what's mm-hmm. going on with them that they forget that there is this third string in the marriage. There's this third cord. And so right. it's not that you're only accountable to your partner. Mm-hmm. You're now accountable to God. So it is indeed an honorable thing. And it is an institution that will never, ever end. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people try to add to it and take away from it. But at the end of the day, it is still the yeah. institution that will stand because it is what everything else is based upon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely yeah. agree. And marriage basically is not just a piece of paper. I've been hearing no. that it's just a piece of paper. And if
or the wedding.
Or the wedding is just for the wedding, is just for the couple. Most times you say it's for the bride. But I absolutely believe that before we come into marriage, we have to understand that there are principles, mm-hmm. especially for kingdom citizens. Yeah. There's principles that we yeah. have to understand before we come mm-hmm. together. It's important mm-hmm. that we go before God, especially on the woman's end. I believe that the woman is supposed to wait until her husband finds her, right? A lot of time, we women, we're going out there, we have this list and this is what we want and we're going out there to get it, right? And we miss the mark and then we complain when it comes to marriage, we complain that, boy, I never sign up for this and it's just where we're saying we're ready to leave, right? I found myself in that space because I thought that, okay, here is that I'm going to get everything that I want. This is it. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for the mm-hmm. grace of God, I don't know where we would have been, right?
Totally so, understand. I want to add too that you are not to be blamed for that because society has literally tricked us
yeah.
in many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, we were told to wait on this knight and shining armor and the poor man them stress out because they cannot live up to this made up figure in our right. head,
right?
Right? Or the figures coming out of the Mills and Boone's books. Right. So it's almost as if we are doomed from the beginning because we were not given the true picture yeah. of what marriage is and what to expect.
Yeah, I think a lot of time, especially when it comes to biblical view, I think something is hidden from us mm-hmm. and we don't read it because Apostle Paul, he warns about marriage.
Oh my God, yes.
He said, if someone wants to marry, he said, let he or she marry, don't let right. that person burn. But he also said that if a person desire not to marry, that person do an honorable thing. But he said, if the person desire to marry and get married, he said, that person also do an honorable thing. But he said, this person will face plenty problem
right.
in life that. And so when you marry, you can't marry and not expect not to have problem because Apostle Paul said in the Bible that when you marry, you must expect problem. And that is why you take a vow. A mm-hmm. vow is not just a promise. When you make a vow, it's a vow between you and God mm-hmm. and the individual. And the Bible said, the book of Ecclesiastes said, it is better not to vow than mm-hmm. to make a vow and break it. And so when you come back, that's why the pastor, he said, do you take this person
to be
a lovely wedding? Which are poor. And you said, yes. You
yes.
said, yes. You have tears coming down your eyes. You are just thinking about sex. You are thinking about getting off on the honeymoon. You are thinking about the Cinderella.
Forget about everything else.
Yeah,
right?
I got the pastor know that a couple of years down the line, months,
weeks.
That life is going to show you some hard part. The emotion is going to, the novelty. I would, yes, the novelty.
It's going to wear off.
The number two is going to be around. The number two is going to be around. It's like buying a car and you have a car and you want to pay, but you are all excited about the new car. But eventually, the novelty of the new car is going to leave and you have to pay that. Same thing with marriage. The novelty, and so you can't go into marriage with just emotion. Marriage is not emotion.
Say it again.
It's beyond that.
It is definitely beyond that. And I think from the perspective of a Christian, we don't understand it, especially younger folks. We don't understand it. We're told, yeah, you need to get married, right? But we aren't taught the principles. And I think that's where we have to change, right? When it comes to letting young people understand, don't just tell them that, yeah, marriage is honorable. Of course it is honorable. But what we need to do is to tell them why. Right? Mm-hmm. Tell them the principles, teach them the principles so that when they come into it, they don't fall, right? Mm-hmm. Or they don't think that, okay, it's not going to work, so let's just leave it alone. It is a partnership between, I believe, all three persons involved, right?
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you said that, because when I came into it, of course you had the pastor there, of course you had people cheering you on, but after the wedding, what happens next, right? After all of that, what happens? And that's where a lot of people fall. That's where a lot of people fall.
Indeed. Like I said, you are not prepared. I mean, yes, you go to premarital counseling.
Yes.
But I mean, it barely skims the surface of what, you know, what truly happens. And then when you find yourself months after, years after, you're thinking to yourself, what did I do? Like,
oh my God.
Did I sign up for this?
Right?
This is crazy. I'm going to go crazy and I need to get out of this. But if you are truly prepared and you understand that, you know, this is bigger than you.
Yes.
And there is a purpose behind it. This is something that we teach. And I think that's why a lot of people may call on us to teach on marriage, although we don't like to do that often, is because we put a completely different spin on it. We don't just go and talk about the communication and the love and the this, that, the other. We're talking about purpose. Your marriage is there to serve a purpose. What are you solving in the world through your marriage? Because it's not just about getting up, go buy a house, then you have children, then what?
So your marriage need purpose, as I said. Your marriage and that's one of the major thing in life, purpose, because without purpose there's no fulfillment in life. And you can put on a facade for everybody, but the truth is you can't run from yourself, and your marriage is there to serve a purpose. The Beatles sing a song and he said, all I need is love, but that is not true, because the thing is, and we tell people all the time, and people get into the beat that,
and they get upset
love is not enough to keep a marriage. The truth is, love is, there are a lot of people divorce and they still love each other. Love is not enough to keep a marriage. You can't. Marriage is, love is not enough. And so when people say all we need is love, that is not true. The fact is that purpose, you need purpose, as Nasa. When you come together, is it you and your husband is going to sit down and you say, baby, we need to discover the reason this marriage is here, why we are here on earth, and what, and the purpose that this family, this institution is going to serve. You also need a vision. Because there are two things that, according to the Bible, there are two things that we perish from. And one of them is Satan. The first one is ignorance, and the second one, where there is no vision, the people
oh
perish.
Oh my God, yes.
And so you need purpose. And so when both of you begin, because it takes time for both of you to become one, you're not going to become one at the altar.
Overnight.
No, you're not going to become one overnight. It takes time. For you to become one in purpose, one in vision, one in values.
As a matter of fact, I want to add something. You will never know how different you are until you start living with your spouse. And at that point, you're saying to yourself, boy, I saw you eat nasty, or you say, why do you have to speak so loud? Or, you know, you can't turn down the TV. You can't pick up your socks. You know, all these different things now start to clash, because you're now in the same space.
Right.
So Jamar was going to tie in vision and purpose. You need those. It's not just to look pretty on the family album and that is it, but you're there to serve a greater purpose. There's something that your family should be doing for the community at large.
Because if there's no purpose, this is what will happen. You, both of you will become subject for self-preservation in life. We are just trying to make ends meet.
And that's it.
And so when you come home in the evening, we talk about is bills. And probably you have
and
some
the bills say, will never stop coming.
Yeah, and so over a period of time, you become frustrated with life because that's all we talk about. We are trying to make ends meet. But there must be something greater.
Right.
That you and your family is trying to accomplish that. So when you take your last breath, the generation that is coming after you, they have something to stand on. They can go further and they can see further because of mommy and daddy. And also the world around you should become better because of the both of you. Now, what we have realized is that if there's no purpose, many of the time, because we are human beings, we love to think about self-preservation. Mm-hmm.
That's
because
true.
The truth is, if there's no food in us, that's how we want to think about it.
It's
getting food, yeah, because that's our human intent, self-preservation. We need to preserve ourselves, but you need something bigger than yourself. And so if you don't have that, what you're going to fall into a trap, sucked into a hole of bills every day, trying to make ends meet. But the truth is, we have nothing going after. And so we are on this treadmill of life. We are moving fast, but we are not really going anywhere.
My God. I think you put it nicely. Excellent. The thing is, when we're getting married, I can talk for myself, right? I never know about no purpose, no vision. Mm-hmm. I did not understand that. I did not know that I was his help. Furthermore, I said, submission to who? Me? No?
Yeah.
Right? So
that's a word.
Yeah.
Listen, so we don't want to hear about it as women. And as for older folks as well, I've heard and I've seen it for myself is that the women tend to lead, right? And I think we have to come back to the principle, the kingdom principle. And that's what we always tend to miss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so practical and it's so right in our face, but we always miss it. We always, there must be a vision and there must be purpose. So what would you tell someone who's just about to come in marriage that purpose is needed, a vision is needed?
Yeah.
Okay?
You want to take that?
You see, there are so many things that I think need to be laid out before anybody jumps into marriage.
Right.
And before we even get to the purpose and the vision, I like to say to young people that this is not something that you rush either. Because what you find is that, so here's this notion. The notion is that you have two people and they're going to come together and they're going to gel so nicely. You're not going to have no problems. It's going to be smooth sailing. I'll be lovey-dovey every single day. Absolutely not. He comes with his bags. I come with my bags.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're going to be in a room filled with a whole heap of bags. So my suggestion to a lot of young people is you have to work with what's going on inside of you prior to going into the marriage, because then there's going to be a combination of everything going on, and it's going to be so hard fighting with your insecurities, fighting with his insecurities. So I like to tell young people, enjoy your singleness. Discover yourself, because you're not going to be able to figure out your partner if you don't know what you want. You're solid in your faith. It's going to cause a lot of grayish areas. And so take the time out to work through those kinks before you jump into marriage.
Yeah, exactly. That would be perfectly. The only thing I'd want to add to that is that you need knowledge and wisdom and understanding of marriage before. And when you come into marriage, you have to first enjoy your singleness.
Yes.
I just adding to what Nas said, but one of the things that when you come into marriage is that both gender is opposite of the spectrum. And the thing is that one of the major things that we have also discovered is that female need love. Mm. Men don't really need love. He needs respect.
Right.
And because the world is saturated that way, we have this love card. And so when you say to your husband, baby, I love you, what he heard is this, I respect you. Mm-hmm. And so when God create anything, God doesn't really create a duplicate. Mm-hmm. And so men see things different from how females see things. When a female say, I have no clothes to wear, what she's saying is that I need some new stuff. Right. But when a man said, when a man say, I have nothing to wear, what he's meaning is that he needs his clothes to wash. And so we are hearing the same thing, but we feel that differently because we are different gender. And so a female, what she needs, she needs love, affection. That's what a female needs. She needs love and affection. A man on the other hand, he needs respect and sex. That is two major needs. He needs love and respect. A female needs love and affection.
Right.
Female needs respect and sex, the highest needs, and then the female is love and affection.
Yeah.
No, we mix that up all the time, especially as kingdom people. We are clueless. We think everybody wants love. And it just doesn't make any sense because that is not something that the men are in tune with.
Right.
And so what you find is the couples are there, they're married, and it's just not working out because we women, if love is not reciprocated, we then start being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
We start making up with fists. We start hiss with teeth. We start quarreling. We nag. We do all these different things. And that is because we may not be getting that love and affection. And then in turn, he will see it as being disrespectful, being disloyal, right?
Mm-hmm.
While the female, they say we women are incubators. Anything you give us, we will multiply.
That's
so
right.
If you give us food, we're going to cook.
Yeah.
You know, if you give us hell, we're going to give you even more hell. Mm-hmm. That's just the equation. That's how it works out. Whatever you give us, we nurture it and it multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't think we fully understand that love and respect what is required in marriage and not all the other different long list of things that everybody is talking about.
Right?
Yeah. You and the person don't have to be identical. As a matter of fact, no marriage is like that. Everybody is always opposites.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If I ask you right now about Mr. Stewart, a whole heap of things going to be at the further end of the spectrum. You're this and he's that, but it works, right?
So
the love and respect factor is also another thing. So you have to work out your own kinks. Mm-hmm. Understand the love and respect principle. You need purpose and vision.
Right.
My God, because let me tell you something. If we as couples, even when you're just starting, understand that you're not just in the marriage to get up tomorrow and brag, say, oh, we've been married for 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But more so, stick through the hard times because we say, boy, there are a lot of people's lives that we're going to impact. So we have to stick this thing through.
Right.
We're going to do this to impact generations. We're going to do this because we have a bigger picture looking at a lot of persons probably would not have divorced because they are looking at a broader picture. So they're not so much concerned about the fact that he leaves his socks all over the place. She love buy too much shoes and all these different things because you understand at the end of the day that it's bigger than you.
Yeah, it's bigger because you need vision, as Jesus said. He said, "Where there is no," as Solomon said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish."
Right.
And so Jesus even said something like that. He said, "If the blind leads the blind, then we both fall into a ditch." That means, and a blind person look like it's a person without a vision. So your family needs a vision, and if you have vision, you can have pro. Vision. Let me say it again. If you have vision,
you'll get the pro vision.
Pro vision. Vision comes before pro vision because if you have vision, people finance it. There are stuff that even my wife can't tell them. Let me just put this frankly. The only thing that somebody has not given my wife and I is a house. And I'm just saying this out of
Sandy, I'm waiting on it though. Like
We have served people. We have served people, and people gave us stuff from our first car to handbags to shoes to watch to plane ticket. All of And so if you serve well, you will be in a place where you don't have to consider your need, because if you take care of other people's needs, then your needs will automatically take care of. And that is where your vision comes. Vision is different from personal ambition. Mm-hmm. Personal ambition is something that what is a dream that you have, that if you fulfill it, it benefits you and your family. For example, suppose say, you know what, I need another house. I need a dream house from a family. My family is getting big. No, that is a personal ambition. That is good. Mm-hmm. But that is not a vision, because the wider society is not going to be affected by it. They are not going to benefit from that. You buy a Mercedes Benz for your husband and your kids. That's a personal ambition. But you need those stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You need those things. But a vision knows, like, say, you know what? I'm going to buy a mall for children who are on the street. I need to do this. So whatever dreams and ideas that you have that will affect the wider society, that will move humanity forward, that is what you consider a vision.
Yes,
because we can move humanity forward. And so when you have a vision now and you're moving humanity forward, people will always help you. You will always... Yeah, because if you serve well, you will earn well. People give you stuff and things like that. And that is why Jesus said, he said, not even think about those things, not even pray. He said, pagans runs after things. And you know, all of us are pagans, you know, we pray for things. And he said, don't you know that pagans run after those things? Because he know that if you're operating from purpose, and vision, but it takes some time to get here.
Yeah.
So we don't want any people to watch this. Or you're probably thinking and say, oh my God, if we apply this, it's going to happen tomorrow. No, it takes time.
It works.
And that's why we say don't get weary in well doing.
That's right.
Because it takes time. And if you're watching this, because every marriage go through a problem. When my wife and I just married, we went through like for 2 years or 3 years, we went through a financial hardship. We need to get out of this. We need a breakthrough, and we work and build. At one point we lost everything. In 2015, because we want to tell people that when you are going through stuff, it's normal. But if you can keep your mind and your sanity and your vision and love each other and committed, you will catch a break, because seasons change. That's what we want to say.
God. Seasons change.
Winter cannot last. If you are going through a financial problem, whatever you are going through, it cannot last.
It won't stay.
And so in 2015, we lost everything. We had a conference, and we have this money that we saved up to purchase the house, and so we put it in the conference and we lost it. A matter of fact, our light was cut the Monday,
which was like the day after such a grand event, and everybody came and everything.
We had
a great time. We had speakers from overseas.
Yeah, put them up at hotel. We
like to share these things because people look at you and think that everything is fine, like you never go through anything. Jamar has already said it earlier. You're going to go through problems when you're married. The tough times are going to come. You're going to be faced with obstacles that you're looking at and say, boy, maybe it was better I had just stayed single. However, if you hang on and stay committed, the hard times must pass. You have people who you'd be surprised, they give up on their marriage for some very simple things.
Simple things.
Yeah. A partner loses a job and the next person says, listen, I'm done. I didn't sign up for this. So although they say for richer or poorer, they really meant for richer and you know, not poorer. So I just like to say to that young person who is about to approach marriage that seasons change. You're going to go through it. There's nobody who is an exception.
Yeah.
Everybody goes through it.
And let me just put this out there. I just wanted to synopsis of our story when we got married. Because when my wife got married, when we got married, my wife got pregnant 2 weeks after
getting married.
We know because on our And our wedding day, my wife menstrual starts. So, not, you know.
It couldn't have been before. It was not possible. And so it was like a divine setup.
And so 2 weeks after, I think about 6 weeks, my wife said, she missed her period. And so we do a test and she was pregnant. So it was 2 weeks after. About 7 months after, the company that I work for, it closed down.
Yes,
my God.
It closed down and I didn't get another job until about 2 years after. And then I was in the job and then one day the gentleman called me and said, you know what? I'm not firing you. I'm just going to release you into your purpose. He said, you can come to me for a recommendation and you just pay me. And he said, you don't like this job. He said, you know what? That thing that you are doing, the conference thing, he said, I think you need to focus on it. And when he said that to me, I was shocked because I need a job. You know where this conference thing was going to take care of for me. It was not something that to empower people. There was no grand vision for it, you know. It was just what it is. We was empowering people, trying to get you to get up in the morning, fulfill your purpose.
So it wasn't something that we were looking to make money from.
Yeah.
So to lose an income, it was very hard on us. And this is where I want to drop in another point too, because I never placed unbelievable expectations on Jamar. And I never put him down either. And I want to say it because I find that a lot of people, once the situation changes, it's like the person turns, becomes a monster.
You do
that. It's a part of the process. And life is so fickle that today Sonia is doing well and then tomorrow Sonia not doing well and our husband have to do the bulk of the work. Things change. You don't want to have your partner going through a phase and you put them down because come tomorrow, they may very well be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
And it harbors so much bitterness and it makes the relationship, the marriage, even harder. So you have to understand that everybody goes through their process. And at that time, what was happening to Jamar was that he was being pulled away from any 9-to-5 to develop this thing that we have right now that is international, it's global. Right? Because if it weren't for Mindful, we wouldn't be UN ambassadors today. We wouldn't be diplomats. Yeah. We wouldn't be Governor General awardees. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So imagine if I were the wife to say to him, say, you're not going to look woke, you're not going to come out of the house. And what every day is there, talk about purpose. It's because of that why we are here today.
Yeah.
And I like to tell the ladies, I know you're going through an emotional roller coaster, but be careful of the things you speak over yourselves.
And let me just add to that, Bates, because in terms, I know one of the highest need of a female is to be secured.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes being financially secure. I just want to talk to somebody about
that.
Jesus said something powerful, and sometimes we don't realize it because we read the scripture and we see. Jesus said, there's only two things on earth that you can serve. He said, either you serve God or you serve money. Not the devil, but money. Paul said something, he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, not Satan. And many times, I want to say this, probably not a controversial way, and I say that many times, people have more problem with finance than even Satan itself. And so you don't want your marriage to become centered around money. Because that's it, because money is so powerful. It is the most powerful thing in the natural realm, money.
Right.
And so you have to have the right ideas and the right philosophy and the right principle about money. And so you don't want to get consuming it. Money is a tool that can get you from point A to point B. It's also a defense.
Right.
You also can use it to answer certain things because the Bible says money answers all things.
Right.
And you have to be careful you have to know what thing is, because healing is not a thing. Love is not a thing. Wisdom is not a thing. So money cannot buy you those stuff. Right. And so you need to have the right philosophy. So when hard time comes, you're not center your marriage around that, but you need your purpose, you need your vision, and you need your core values to keep you anchor. Right. And that God is a rock of all age, and is the only thing that will never change. And so your faith must be placed on that. So when our time comes, you are anchored. You don't move. You're just like a ship in water. Water move. But when the ship drop its anchor, the anchor must be on rocks. The rock will never move. And so the anchor keep the ship in place. It's the same thing for you and I. Right. Your faith is something to anchor that when life comes, the storms of life, and it is pulling you one way, you are anchored like this. So you can't move. And so the water around you is moving. And so that is very, because you see, when you marry, you can't choose your problem. It's not that like you get a menu and God says,
okay. All right, we want that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not this one.
You don't choose, but it is what it is. If you can keep faithful your purpose,
yeah,
and your vision and your values, and know that you are here for a greater purpose. And I'm committed to my marriage.
Amen.
You are committed. You are living by principle, because principles are protect you from in life.
That's
principle
it.
Protect you. Principle protect you in life. When you go at the stoplight and your stoplight turn red, you know you should not move. That stoplight protect you and protect others as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you violate principle, you automatically put yourself at risk.
That's
the thing is about violating principles. Some things are not immediate, like gravity. If you jump off a building, it's immediate. Judgment is immediate.
Right.
Some things take time.
That's right. You said a mouthful. I just hear wisdom coming out. I just hear wisdom. And I think it's, well, not just because of the years that you have encountered and the experiences, but I think because you have spent time in the Bible and you have spent time with each other and you have spent time with God, that's why you're able to understand what it is. And I'm so happy that you touched on all of these topics. I believe it's prophetic, and I pray that whomever watches this, that they'll definitely be blessed by this. I am excited. And I do hope that we'll get to do another session again, because this was absolutely amazing. What did I tell you? They are an amazing couple filled with wisdom, and their story is just absolutely amazing. Now, guess what? If you want to hear even more great stories from other couples, continue to join Becoming the Godly Millennial Wife. This is just the first episode. So imagine the others. You stay tuned.